You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'd like to get maximum informed on this PGA Live atrocity. And Alan Shipnuck has been on with us. He's been on Stupidity. He is a foremost expert, not just because he was 25 years longtime golf writer for Sports Illustrated, not just because he's the executive editor of a new golf media company called the Fire Pit Collective. He wrote the book on Phil Mickelson called Phil. It made a lot of headlines, and Phil called the Saudis, quote, scary mother bleepers, end quote. And now he's got a new book out coming this fall, which has just been ruined or made better. It's in rewrites, because you could pre-order it right now, Live and Let Die, the inside story of the war between the PGA Tour and Live Golf. But it has changed. That book has changed a lot in the last 24 hours. So, Alan, thank you for joining us. Let's start here. How surprised were you? Because I'm unsurprised that greed wins. I'm unsurprised that morality has no place in sports. But they keep telling me here that this is a shocker. And I'm like, how can you be surprised that greed always wins in sports?
Yeah, money remains undefeated. We know that. But yeah, so I had the last chapter. I was peering into the crystal ball, and I talk about what a merger would look like. And I'm not shocked it happened. I'm surprised it came this quickly. You know, I thought it would take longer to play out, and there would be more pressure internally and externally that would need to be applied. But as you suggest, it's just follow the money, and that goes back to Deep Throat. It's still a good primer on human behavior and explaining these complex stories. So here we are. It was a thunderbolt, because Jay Monahan has spent the last, you know, year plus demonizing the Saudis, and then all of a sudden he's sitting on TV next to His Excellency Yasir Al-Rumayyan and making nice. So on an interpersonal level, it was a shocker, but as you say, I mean, if you just take a step back and get above the fray a little bit, you know, money always wins, and that's what happened here.
Give me the names, the faces that came into your head as soon as you received this news, where you're like, oh, this person is going to be the most pissed about what just happened here.
Well, beyond my editor, Simon Schuster, yeah, definitely, it's Rory McIlroy. You know, he staked his whole legacy on being this advocate and this diplomat for the PGA Tour, and he put his heart and soul into that project at a high personal cost. I mean, he admitted he's exhausted, and it's affecting his golf, and he's in his prime. I mean, Rory should be hitting balls on the range, not sitting in these 8-hour Zoom, you know, board meetings. And he was the most fierce critic of Live Golf, of the Saudi money, all of it. And the Tour and Jay Monahan just completely sold him out. And so, Rory's an easy choice for that. But certainly I thought about Phil Mickelson. He was going to be taking the victory lap of all victory laps on social media and elsewhere, because This is sweet vindication for Phil, who's been calling for these kind of structural changes for a long time, as far as bringing in outside investment, privatizing the tour so it can take on private equity and other forms of modernization. You know, the PGA Tour has been this nonprofit for this whole time, which really hamstrung its ability to invest and innovate and do all these sorts of things. So Phil and Rory were the first ones, but there's a litany of characters who've been swept up into this story, and that's what makes it so fascinating. And there was a lot of winners and losers yesterday.
You didn't even mention Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger's. There's so much to ask Alan, but I just saw this quote coming in from the RBC Canadian Open, where Rory's there, and he was asked about all of this on the heels of that 8-hour meeting, and he said, quote, "I still hate Liv. I hate them. I hope it goes away." And this seems to be all the problem without looping them in. I don't know how they salvage this, Alan.
Well, the tour doesn't need Rory anymore. You know, he's cannon fodder. Rory was crucial in this effort to keep players from defecting to Liv. And now that the war is over and it's about winning the peace, the tour has all the money it needs. It doesn't need Rory as an advocate anymore. So he can have some bruised feelings, but you know, he's been left behind. I mean, he's been sacrificed at the altar here. So Rory's going to be sour for a long time.
He said that. His quotes are,
I'm not certain the tour needs Tiger anymore, to be honest with you.
He is quoted as saying, "It's hard for me not to sit up here and feel somewhat like a sacrificial lamb." Not somewhat, Alan. Not somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, to your question about Tiger, he's Tiger Woods. He's always going to have a voice. He's always going to have an influence. But Rory had taken the mantle, and Rory was out there every week. He's on the board of directors. He just had more juice, and he was more on the front lines. I mean, Tiger was sort of this figurehead. It was kind of like an existential thing with Tiger. Like he disapproved of Liv because it wasn't a meritocracy, and that's where Tiger came down. But you know, Rory was more important. He was the one who was interacting with the players and tour leadership through all this. So certainly Tiger's going to be a little unhappy, but it's he doesn't have the impact he used to. I mean, let's face it, his playing days are basically over. So none of this was going to affect him directly. But yeah, it's a wild turn of events. Part of the problem is that Jay Monahan and others like Rory personalized it. You know, they demonized the Saudis, they demonized the Liv players, instead of just keeping it, you know, Mario Puzo gave us a blueprint to this, right? Like, it's not personal, it's business. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Godfather. We can all quote that, right? Yeah. But these guys made it personal, and that's why it stings so much. It's not just a merger. It's not just a transfer of wealth and influence, but these guys really put their reputations and on the line, and they made it a human story. And so that's why this hurts. That's why Rory's so devastated. It's not because he got outmaneuvered in the boardroom. It's that he was diminished as a human, and that's what really stings.
Alan, I'm curious. I get it. The PGA Tour is going to make a lot of money out of this, but what are the positives, either for the players or for the golfing public, the fans, out of this merger?
That's a great question. That's been lost in a lot of this. I mean, I think golf has never made sense in that you had all these different tours competing against each other, playing tournaments at the same time, splitting up the stars, essentially. And now there's going to be a unified global schedule that could be really cool. You take the best tournaments and venues from the European Tour. You take the Liv has had made some inroads, especially when they went over to Australia earlier this year and had huge crowds. You take a few of the best Liv events, you take the old traditional tour, and you have one global schedule that's going to ensure the best players come together more often on really cool venues. I mean, that's a win for everybody. For the players, I mean, all this complaining and all this at each other, it's very much first world problems. Like they have gotten so much wealthier in the last 12 months. I mean, the purses on tour used to be $8 or $9 million. Because of Liv Golf, they went to $20 million. We know that Liv put all kinds of money in the pockets of the top players. Now the public investment fund of Saudi Arabia is going to turn the spigot on, and it's going to underwrite professional golf. And so even the guys who didn't get the big money offers from Liv, who turned them down out of loyalty to the tour, and they're sour about that, they're going to be playing for more money than they ever dreamed of. So that's a positive for the players, clearly. And, you know, for fans, it gets us out of this period where there was a lot of messiness, was a lot of ugliness, but it became so tribal. Like, you either had to pick LIV or you had to pick the tour. It kind of mirrors modern life in America politically, right? Like, there's no middle. You have to pick one side. You have to demonize the other. There's no room for nuance or discussion. And it really split the game in half and led to, you know, a lot of relationships got damaged, a lot of name calling, a lot of mudslinging. And of course, I enjoyed it. I thought that was great. But for the average fan, a lot of them were turned off by it. And, you know, it's supposed to be this genteel sport, and it was anything but. So the temperature will get turned down a little bit. That's probably a good thing for most fans as well.
Alan, I know there's a lot of reasons to not like Phil Mickelson, but his original point all along was the PGA Tour is not paying its players enough money. They're not giving us enough money for our name and likeness. They're not giving us enough money, period. They're not letting us control our social media. And it looks like, because LIV allowed those things to happen, it looks like what Phil set out to do, which is change the sport, seems like he was right. And it seems like it worked.
Yeah. Oh, Phil's been right on the merits on most of these things. It wasn't the message. It was the messenger, right?
Of course.
There was so much hubris with Phil. I mean, he can be so smarmy and off-putting, but he's been right all along. And, you know, certainly everything he called for when we had that freighted interview for my book, you know, it's all coming true. So he kind of provided a road. The reason those comments were so explosive was he just provided a roadmap for the future of golf, and it's all happened. So there's no question that Phil is feeling vindicated, and that a lot of the structural changes that he was calling for have now happened. So that's part of why Rory's so unhappy, because you know, he'd put himself in opposition to Phil, and Phil won, and that hurts if you're Rory and a lot of other people in the game. You know, Phil always wants to be the smartest guy in the room. That's been said about him many times. And the last thing anyone in golf wants is for that to happen and for him to be proven correct, but it just did.
Can you answer a couple of questions here for me quickly? Because I have a bunch of them. The Saudis, please. Are they going to push for a fifth major on their own soil? How long before that happens?
Well, the Saudis don't have that authority. That rests in a much more important, impactful, sophisticated crowd, which is the sports writers. We determine what's a major. I mean, the PGA Tour has been pumping money and hype around the Players Championship forever. It's not a major. It'll never be a major on my watch. It's not happening.
Personal record book.
Let them know, Alan.
I need a ghostwriter.
Okay. Everyone knows it's a Waste Management Open.
Another quick question. Jay Monahan, what's going to happen with him?
Well, he just keeps failing upwards. You know, now he's the CEO of this whole new entity. Like, it's amazing. I mean, Jay has taken shrapnel left and right. There was this sort of closed loop press conference, invitation only on Zoom yesterday with select reporters and Jay. I've never seen a human look so beaten down. I mean, he looked like he wanted to cry. He was a shell of himself. And on the other hand, he's now in charge of he used to run the PGA Tour. Now he runs the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and LIV Golf. And he has unlimited money and power at his fingertips.
Well, wait a minute. So is he going to get fired, or is he the most powerful man in sports? Like, which is it?
At this moment, he's survived. I mean, the guy's the ultimate survivor. He's screwed up a lot of things, but he just keeps pressing forward. And so, he was in position to end this whole thing. All this ugliness and bring the game back together. And he did.
I mean, greed wins again. Honest to God, we are heading to a satirical place where there's like some sort of golf match that has a 19th hole to celebrate the 19th hijacker. We're headed to some awful place here. Listen to
Bryson. Not every Twitter joke is worth running.
Listen to Bryson DeChambeau. Listen to what it is that he's saying on CNN as he's turning the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund, he's turning it into the United Nations. Listen to this.
We'll never be able to repay the families back for what exactly happened just over 20 years ago. And what happened is definitely horrible. And I think as time has gone on, 20 years is passed, and we're in a place now where it's time to start trying to work together to make things better together as a whole. I have deep sympathy. I don't know exactly what they're feeling. I can't ever know what they feel, but I have a huge amount of respect for their position and what they believe. Nor do I ever want anything like that to ever occur again. I think as we move forward from that, we've got to look towards the pathway to peace. especially in forgiveness, especially if we're trying to mend the world and make it a better place.
Well, Bryson is not the Secretary of State. I mean, we're not looking to him for leadership on
actually,
world
affairs.
Actually, he is now.
That was part of the talking point.
Of Trump is right.
Yeah, if Trump is reelected, that's his title.
Well, and of course, Trump is, as always, is part of everything. You know, he had been completely renounced by the golf world. Every governing body has refused to give him a tournament to host. The PGA Tour took away his event in Miami at Doral. He's been ostracized by all the powers that be. But, you know, he found a warm embrace in the bosom of LIV Golf. And now he's on the schedule. So there's maybe a side door for Trump to start hosting tournaments again that have the PGA Tour
majors.
Stamp of approval.
Trump major.
It's wild.
The eight
the
Trump
whole thing
majors.
Is wild.
Not if the sports
the
writers don't want to call it a major.
Over
right.
your dead body. Right. Over your right. dead body. But, thank you, Alan. You're going to get trampled by the machine. You, your book, your career. Go ahead. Put your hands up. See if the cement mixer doesn't hit you in the face.
I mean, it's you just can't make this stuff up. And the funny thing is, Trump called this almost a year ago. He put this whole thing out on Truth Social saying the PGA Tour players should take the money now because when the merger happens, they're going to get stuck with nothing and they're going to be pissed off. Like he's, you know, it's just like when he said I could shoot someone in Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. I mean, sometimes he can see the future. So
he sort of called it on, because every thief knows the behavior of all the other thieves. That's how that one works. Thank you.
He sort of called it.
Called it exactly.
Nailed
because
it.
Why? Greed wins. You know who doesn't? Alan. Alan doesn't win. Hold your hands up. Make it stop. Go ahead with all your principles. You, Rory, Tiger, all of you, steamrolled.
Wow, I just got lumped in as I'm a neutral observer, man. I'm wearing that UN vest. I'm in between the firing zones. But that's part of what makes this story so seductive. Is it's just swept up. It's like this cyclone and everyone's gotten sucked into it. You have Mohammed bin Salman, you know, he's bankrolling this whole thing. You have Trump, you have Jack Nicklaus, who wound up suing himself as related to the Saudi money. That's a tough case.
Everyone's confused. Everyone's confused. Google. I mean, no one knows what to do.
Alan, it's a hilarious story.
Thank you. Thank you. He's so confused that he sued himself. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate
it. Happened.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Don Levitard.
I've pulled up the Urban Dictionary definition of zaddy.
Yeah.
And it says here,
Christ,
a fine, handsome, and sexy-ass intelligent man that makes you smile and drip every time you see him.
I absolutely hated listening to you read that.
Stugatz.
Hell yeah. My zaddy is all of that. Damn, Zaddy, got all my lips smiling.
Oh, no. He doesn't. You can't do this to him.
Yes, we can.
Daily.
Daily.
We do this daily.
You don't know what you're saying.
Whittingham.
That's being, it's a perspective of a 20-year-old woman.
Whittingham reads.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I can hear through soundproof doors and windows in our new studios, I can hear a giant bustling of the finals are right outside our door. DraftKings, Dollar Shave Club, people are taking or trying to take pickle juice shots. I don't know. The party is now, it's now infringing on what it is that we're doing for a living. The finals have arrived in Miami. Game three is an enormous game, and I feel like everything that is here to party is right outside our doors, making a lot of noise. Every time the door swings open, I hear like this murmuring party gathering of stuff coming.
The mixer seems to be going well.
It seems like Amin's mixer has already started. There are all sorts of people out there. Amin's friends. Amin's friends. Is it Jenna?
Jenna Garcia, yeah.
Bring her in. Let's go. Juju's here. Yeah. Charlotte's here. Yeah. Amin's here. Mo's here. Throw Mo back there.
Yeah.
Just keep throwing people at the audience because they're not confused enough by the number of people we have at microphones.
Let me just say right now.
Bring the DraftKings people. Bring the Dollar Shave Club people. Put them all back there. Just put everybody in the room.
You guys.
So people can know what's infringing upon us and our ability to do this show.
He has a lot of nerve, ladies and gentlemen. This Dan Levitard. He said, you know what would be fun? If Heat Celtics won 7 and then the Heat won in game 7, wouldn't that be more fun? Don't you guys want to feel alive? You're the one who decided to have a studio across the street from the epicenter of basketball.
Yeah, but you're the one who decided to throw a party without telling anyone. Look, man,
Chris Cody's here?
What?
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 Went in Rome, Dano.
I didn't even know this many people could fit in here.
Is that Feldman in sales?
The Feld dog.
The camera's not wide enough to show how many people are actually in this room right
John
now.
John Reed, fresh off of getting kicked out of the press box.
John Reed, go sit in the penalty box.
He deserves it. You, your Hurricane jersey, for embarrassing us.
Get out, kicked out of another area because you wore a Panthers jersey in the press box of a final game.
2 minutes or 5 minutes, just so we're clear.
Cougs just walked in.
Oh, Cougs. Hey.
Did a lap and walked out. I love the idea that no one knows who Cougs is.
Classic mixer.
This is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys understand. Everyone who's in that room,
mm-hmm.
put them in there. So that they can feel what it is to do this show every day with a new assortment of people near microphones. Feldman, you're with Dollar Shave Club. You're with DraftKings around here. And you better not sell our soul out of corporate greed for a party.
Feel free to sell mine.
Because you're the one around here who most reminds me of Stugatz, and I'm scared of the ways you're going to contaminate everything we do around here by putting sales on it. I've hated radio sales my entire life.
Why is the Big Show here?
Amazing.
Well.
Frankie's here.
Look at the sheer number. This is half of Metal Arc Media. This is half of the people paying. This is half. As this thing keeps growing, absurdly.
Frankie, I love Frankie.
Oh, man.
But it's a fun time in Miami, and Miami is on the precipice, Amin, of the single biggest upset in the history of the sport you love. Right? Yeah. It's Chauncey Billups knocking off Shaq and Kobe.
Bigger.
This would be the biggest one.
It would be the biggest one because every one of those teams that we think about, Dallas over Miami in 2011, right? If we think about Detroit over LA, those were all great regular season teams that made it to the finals and were playing against a juggernaut, the Cavs over the Warriors.
This would be considered the worst NBA champion of all time, would it not?
If we had to rank the teams in terms of quality on paper, I think this would be the least talented team.
May I buck up against that a little bit? Pun intended.
I'm not saying that's the case, Mike. I'm saying it would generally be considered the worst NBA champion of all time.
Unfairly so, because if you look at the combined record of the teams that they would have beaten to lift the Larry O'Brien, it is actually the most impressive run to an NBA Finals championship we've ever seen.
No, Mike, we're not saying it's not impressive.
No, I know. You're taking it's an 8 seed, and unlike the Knicks of the lockout shortened season, this is a tried and true 8 seed. They struggled all year long.
And the Knicks of the lockout season got to the finals, got smacked around for a couple games, won a pity game, and then got smacked around, and then that was the end of the series. This is different. We're looking at this Nuggets Heat series like, these are equals. These are peers. And so if the Heat can pull this off, this is by far the biggest upset in NBA history, given where they came from, given what they look like, even as recent as March 1st. April. What am I talking about? March 1st, April 1st.
I'm about 5 minutes away from getting
eliminated by Chicago
from the play-in.
Chicago, which is unequivocally not a good basketball team.
Chirac.
So it's not just Chicago. I mean, it's mm-hmm. They lost at home by double digits to Atlanta the game before that.
And Capella looked like Will Chamberlain. That's
we did all the stats on Atlanta was so mediocre that they were a 500 team for like 72 straight days or something absurd. Just 500. They come in here, they win. And then against Chicago at home with 3 minutes left, they are down 3 points. And Mike Ryan and a whole lot of people were trading Bam and nuking the entirety of the blueprint. Get everyone out of here. This isn't good enough.
I've apologized to three Heat players directly.
No, there's fine. But there was no reason for Mike or really anyone to expect this team to make this kind of run. Why? An 8 seed never makes this kind of run. And this Heat team has made that kind of run. It's impressive. Two number one, if they get it done, two number one seeds, a number two seed, and the Knicks.
No, it's not. It is absolutely.
And the Knicks are the toughest.
No, the thing that Mike is doing, because Heat fans are going to do this about give us our respect, there's no questioning that you knock out Milwaukee and Boston. You've knocked out the best in the East. That you've done something impressive, but not as impressive as a guy who should be three-time MVP and is also an arm bleeding garbage monster.
The garbage man.
He's a garbage truck.
Have we realized that if the garbage man is Jokic's nickname, anytime he's on the court, it's garbage time?
Whoa.
Have we done that yet?
Shout out to Katie Nolan.
Katie.
Yeah.
This is why you brought me in. You're welcome.
There it is.
See Debsky.
I legitimately have no idea who's talking anymore on our show.
There are so many people in that room. I know the podcast listeners are wondering, but
I would like for the last
minute. Is anyone covering the pants?
Somebody farted too, by the way.
Right here.
Somebody farted.
Feldman. For the last minute of this segment, I want everyone in their room at the same time to give their Heat take.
Yeah, NBA Finals take.
Everybody just give your takes all at the same time. Everybody,
Smitty,
all your thoughts, everything that you think about Nuggets against Heat. Go ahead.
Well, for me, the key to the series
is one of
these guys.
I want everyone to know.
Dion Waiters is on the list.
Don Levitard.
Look out! Look out now!
Just Jack White doing Elvis and Dewey Cox.
Stugatz.
She hits it out of the park.
Harry Carey is who that is?
It's Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
And Elvis occasionally. And
look out now!
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Amin occasionally feels my pain between drinks. The fact that we have so many employees, responsibilities, sponsors, people we need to take care of. I just realized, to my horror, you can imagine what kind of horror this was, to realize walking outside that we have already outgrown our new studios.
Yeah.
The Dollar Shave Club and DraftKings people were hanging from a chandelier out there, drinking liberally from those big drinks that have upside down beers in them and are made of slush. And the party, it's just game three. Party just got to Miami.
If I may, though, that was planned. Amin is the biggest catalyst for making this place feel really crowded.
He feels your pain. He caused the pain.
All organic.
Look, man, let me tell you something right now. I'm making us the epicenter of basketball right now. Sorry, excuse me for trying to raise the profile of this place a little bit. You guys just want to be a little rinky-dink podcast, or do you want to be a media company?
But can you do it after 1 p.m.?
Yeah.
After 1 p.m.? No. This is it's prime time right now.
That's when the energy's here. Billy Corbin's going to be here at 1.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
I got to get all these people out of here before Billy gets here.
You really do need to get them out.
Nobody calls a good party like Corbin.
No, he'll call the fire marshal. On us.
Hold on.
You got to get him out of here.
Bigger victory lap, me on Messi or Corbin on Carollo?
Oh, definitely Corbin on Carollo.
We have a problem with the sheer number of people who are here. It is only going to continue growing. But another problem that we have, because I just learned that Chris Cody is here, evidently bought by Dollar Shave Club. He works for them now. He's got to endure some sort of penalty for losing 11-0 at pickleball with Roy. We'll get to that in a second.
11-0?
11-0.
11-1.
Apparently,
don't judge me.
Roy is terrible.
I will tell you, he blamed Roy. That's it. He did not take any responsibility. He said Roy is awful at pickleball.
That's his fault, too.
It is one of the greatest things we do here at Metal Arc Media, not take responsibility for anything.
Sorry.
And I take responsibility for the mix.
Where have you been? We've done 2 hours of show without you. You're our basketball expert. You haven't. Charlotte Wilder has been here more than you have.
He's been
today.
At the mixer.
I'm mixing it up.
Yeah. C-dubs.
Amin's busy.
Yeah.
Amin's a busy man.
It's easy to put together something like this that we just saw in that last segment?
Free liquor? Do I think it's easy to get a crowd around free liquor? That's what you're asking me. Yes. Yes, and it's been my life experience that it's very easy to get a crowd anywhere there's free liquor.
Man, he got Mo Dekeel.
I got everybody, man.
Well, I haven't seen Rod Thorne yet.
Invites are coming out tomorrow. Remember?
Well, Stugatz is feeling a little bit nudged out of our crowded space. It's not just Wilbon coming in later this week. Do you have jealousy about Mike Breen? What's happening with you?
I mean, Mike Breen was a stupidity guest, a stupidity staple, and it smells like Breen in here because he spent an hour with you on South Beach Sessions. And, you know, me and Mike Breen have become very, very good friends, so I'm a little bit upset that he is now...
Are you picking,
over
a,
to
you're picking a booger on television? And then
it was not a booger. I have a little piece of a nail that's hanging off my thumb.
You put it in your nose.
And it's YouTube. That's a fine. Get with the times.
You're on DraftKings Network.
You're doing a live show. You just reached into your nose.
Hey, don't lash out at me. I didn't throw a mixer. I come here, man. That's what I do every day. I come here. I sit next to you. Except for Thursdays, which is odd, but I come here every single day. I sit with you. I share in your happiness. I share in your pain. And you have every right to feel the pain today. But just know you're lashing out at the wrong person. I didn't invite everyone here. I just showed up today.
Stugatz, all I'm lashing out at you about is that on our new shiny network,
yeah,
you just reached into your nose, rummaged around.
Yep.
Had something at the end of your finger, and while talking, were distracted by whatever you were looking at the end of your finger.
Hanging off the nail.
Examined it like a scientist in the movies, looking for the virus that's going to kill everybody. He just kind of staring at it.
What do we have?
Iron Sheik has passed away at 81 years old.
Oh, my God.
What a downer in the middle of what we were just talking about.
Mm. Marty Schottenheimer also died.
Yeah.
I mean, what a jabroni you are.
Yeah. I mean, we have a history with him. I can't play any of those clips.
Nope.
Because, no, they have not stood the test of time like the Iron Sheik did.
ESPN kept them.
Yeah, I'd never want to relive that. That is honestly the most scared I've ever been doing this show because we had the mother of all curse words go out over the air while Jack Thompson, Google it, was listening.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
What happened to that guy?
Oh, God.
Jack Thompson.
Civil rights attorney chased Two Live Crew around all the way to the Supreme Court on banned lyrics. You didn't want that guy flooding you with paperwork. And the Iron Sheik said some things he shouldn't have said. Mike, why did you just insert that in the middle of what we were doing?
I felt like you and the audience need to know that
right after Stugatz inspects a booger.
I think that's actually
breaking news.
Would have liked it.
Yeah.
Can we actually Stugatz's defense of the booger was the weirdest part of it all. He said, "No, I just have a hangnail on my thumb." You put it in your nose?
I hung the booger on the hangnail.
There's the truth.
Not great.
You were saying about Breen before you were so rudely interrupted by your own rummaging booger.
I don't remember. I mean, just Breen was here. I smell him. He used to come on Stupidity. I asked him this week. He said no. He's never said no before. I mean, and then, you know, he's going to appear on South Beach Sessions later this week. I'm a little upset by it. What can I tell you?
Do one of the worst things you've done to any guest, Mike Breen, though, if we're going to be completely truthful. God,
what do you mean?
What do you do?
Well, okay, so we had a situation where 2 years into Zoom, Stugatz was still having technical issues with Zoom from time to time. And one such technical issue came with an interview with Mike Breen, and he scheduled him at one time when we had a guest already booked, let's just say 11:30, and he scheduled Mike at 11:15, and I said, "See, that's cutting it close. We have this other guest that we've had there booked for, you know, a good week. He has this thing coming up. We got to do it today. It's promoting whatever." Right. So he schedules him. He spends 8 minutes trying to figure out the technology of the whole thing. It doesn't work. And I said, we need to go to this other Zoom. It's part of a tour. Like, we need to leave and join their Zoom. So then Mike Breen is answering the questions.
Oh, no.
Stugatz is pretending not to hear him and then says, "Oh, Mike, I got to leave for a minute. I got it. Let me figure out the technology. I just got to step out for a minute."
Reconfigure.
Leaves. Our other producer, Mikey A, sitting in the Zoom with Mike Breen. And then Mike Breen says, "Okay, let me know when we get back." And then Stugatz says, "We'll be sure to do that." After telling him he couldn't hear him, he made sure to answer him directly. Leaves the Zoom.
Just dawned on me that I did that.
Yeah, leaves the Zoom. Mikey A is there by himself, joins the Zoom, does the full other interview for a good 15 to 20 minutes.
Who was the other interview?
We'll get there. Then we come back, does a full 15 to 20 minute interview, then rejoins Mike Breen. Then he's like, "Oh, it's all working now. This is great." Even though he's still kind of fidgeting with something and something actually wasn't working, he's like, "This is all great." Whatever. We resume the interview. The person that he left, Mike Breen, waiting in his home for 15 minutes on a Zoom for, was to interview Jake Paul.
It's a big fight that week.
How'd he play, though, huh, Dano? I can't hear you.
Charlotte is hiding her own face.
Don't talk to Breen about it. I mean,
from your shame. She is so ashamed on your behalf.
Well, first of all, the fact that he stayed waiting for you. He sat
he's a very nice man. He's a very nice man. A super decent man. And of course, Stugatz takes advantage of anyone who's decent.
Oh, my God. I can't.
You can't be decent around Stugatz. He will ravage you.
C-Dub, I couldn't hear him. I mean, what do you want?
Okay.
I went to the guy I could hear.
You were hacked. You were hacked.
The depths of it is when Breen says, "Oh, okay, I'll wait for you," and Stugatz responds to that. Like, that's like if you had just stuck with the bit, I'd be like, "All right, man, you got to do what you got to do sometimes." Yeah. But the fact that you just revealed yourself to be a fraud immediately.
Left him to Mikey A. They were having a delightful conversation, Mikey A and Mike.
He's a hell of a talker.
Couple of mics cutting it up. How about that?
Stugatz will not be with us tonight as we go out with Dollar Shave Club, with DraftKings, and throw such a giant party that Amin is now yawning.
What?
Right on television.
Where?
Just giant yawned in the middle of what it is that we're doing because I can't keep your attention because you're too busy not working the first 2 hours of our show.
Look,
while planning a mixer. But tonight, I don't want to
look. Work.
In fact,
I'm just
saying,
you
know what?
That's work. Oh, no, hold on. No, before you say what you're going to say, I know he's going to say it. I just want to say, I'm always working, Dan. I'm the hardest worker here. I make things happen. You think I can get that many people in this building all at once? Just say free booze and people just run up? No, these are curated people, Dan. I'm not just grabbing any old person. I'm getting the creme de la creme in here.
There are only people sitting, invading our space out there, eating and drinking our things that I don't know because you've invited a bunch of strangers in here.
The creme de la creme.
Also Dollar Shave Club and also DraftKings, who are throwing a great party for us tonight. Chris Cody is here to pay the penalty because we had a promotion on YouTube.
Were you sending Amin somewhere? Or what was...
Well, I wanted him to take your booger and go to the penalty box with it for 2 minutes. But Chris, can you tell me what happened with Roy and why you guys lost 11-0 and why Roy is so terrible at pickleball and what your penalty is?
You know, the ball just didn't really bounce our way that day. I'm kidding. Roy was terrible. It's like, I literally couldn't imagine. As bad as you could possibly imagine someone could be at pickleball, Roy was worse. It was my first time playing. I feel like I picked it up all right. I like it. It was fun. But, Roy's subtle.
Leave!
Roy.
Leave!
Pickled it up. I mean.
Take the booger! Take the booger with you and leave!
Here, hold on a sec.
Just like in golf. Roy just lacks subtlety sometimes in sports. He doesn't understand. He tries to do everything in sports as hard as he possibly can, and he just doesn't realize you got to have a little touch, man. Got to have a little touch, and it was just I got frustrated. A couple points in, I was like, we're not winning this. This is over, and it was a dark day, and I'm here to pay my debt.
I've never heard this exactly. When there's no I in team, brother. Right. You came there and you met your match that day. The other team was just better.
They were.
It wasn't Roy's fault.
He's saying there's a you in team.
It was 1,000% Roy's fault. If we want to do a singles competition, I'm down for that.
Just go drink your punishment.
You're a loser. Yeah. Go
you
and
can drink mine as well.
Punishment.
Get out of here.
No, Roy. You go out
Roy,
there as
if
well.
Anything.
Roy, it's your fault.
You lost the game. No accountability. Go. Right now.
Not enough attention is being paid to how great Jessica Smetana performed that day. She was our MVP. Salute to you, sister. Salute to Lee, man. I got your backs forever.
She's boycotting the show this
week.
She's
the only one in the company not here today.
She's boycotting. Well, Amin hasn't really been here. She's boycotting the show because of the heat stuff has gotten annoying. And
Juju, on behalf of Dollar Shave Club, I'd like to Jessica couldn't be here today, so we'll accept this gift basket on her behalf. But here you go, Juju.
Congratulations, wonderful Juju. Dollar Shave Club. You're a champion. Congratulations.
Congrats.
For the losers, Stan, what do they get?
The losers have to do a shot of pickle juice, I guess.
That's not really a what is picklebacks it? Are like my
yeah,
favorite shot.
I'll do
shot.
It for fun.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, Charlotte,
juice.
Get out of here. Go do it. Do it for fun. That's
be
us.
Be careful, Charlotte.
Penalties that aren't actually penalties. Penalties that are fun. No actual consequences. Just give us money for stuff.
Last time Chris had to shave his beard, which
that
I thought was
a real
big-time
punishment.
I left him with mutton chops, too. Chris, double loser, by the way.
The photos or forever of Chris Cody clean shaven.
That was our punishment.
We have lost control, Dan.
All right, let's take the shot and let's see our guys do this shot. All right, let's take the shot and see them do a shot. Can we bring them up over here?
What about right, audio, given that we're largely an audio?
No, the building's still under construction. We don't actually have microphones
the
out
power
there.
Went off the
okay,
other day.
Okay, excellent work by all of you. Just do it and get it over with, please. Just do it. The penalty that's not a penalty. Dollar Shave Club brought to you by DraftKings. They're supporting what we're doing tonight, a party we don't deserve. Game 3 of the finals. We're going to be, Mike, what's the name of the place we're going to be tonight?
Savage Labs.
Wynwood. Juju will be there. Members of the shipping container, but not that fraud Stugatz. Maybe his booger. We'll bring it in a case. We'll have Dollar Shave Club sponsor it. Thank you for your sponsorship and your continued support of this asinine endeavor.